How close are we to an actual second American Civil War? Baby time warps and spooky ghosts today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, I'm Jason Carpenter. Thanks for tuning in to Dead Rabbit Radio. It's a kind of warm night. I don't have any fans. I wonder how easy the show is going to be to record in the winter time when it's super cold and I can't run a heater. We'll find out. I guess I plan on still doing it by then. Hope everyone had a good day today. Yeah, that probably wasn't the best way to start off the show. I'm sure that you guys have heard about that horrible shooting of that newspaper office. So it's come out that apparently the reason why he went in and shot up the newspaper was because they wrote an article on him called Jared Wants to Be Your Friend, where he had been accused or convicted of stalking someone on Facebook, a former high school student on Facebook, and he sued the newspaper and lost the case. He, like, sued the newspaper and the girl he was stalking and the judge who, was over the stalking case, and he lost that case, and he just thought he was treated so unfairly. And then that was probably, I think, in 2014 or something like that. And then today he walked into the newspaper office and shot five people. You know, here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff that happened that's going to happen to people in life that's going to make you think that you only have one way to deal with it. This guy, you know, all of us have gotten really angry and thought about doing stupid stuff in our life. And 99% of the time, we don't do it. And guess what? Life goes on. The things that you think were so important, they're not important anymore. You can look back 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. The farther back you look, the more you're like, man, that really wasn't as important as I thought it was. And I almost went to jail or got horribly injured or horribly hurt somebody else over that. And I'm glad that I didn't. And this guy's going to be facing this decision for the rest of his life. Yes, five people are dead, and all of the people there who had to witness that, and all the family members, and this gentleman's family has to deal with it. But most importantly, he's going to remember, for the rest of his life, he's going to be thinking, oh man, I can't believe I made that decision. And he could have not have made that decision. And all we can do ourselves is to not make those decisions. Whenever we get that angry, whenever we let that pressure build in us, we have to find another way to release it. You have to find another way to release it. Otherwise, you will regret it, and other people will regret it. And I've had some rough stuff happen to me in my life, and there's been some rough circumstances that I've gotten into the middle of, and you know, you just have to step back. There are decisions that I made that had I made the opposite decision, I wouldn't be here. And that's a fact that I'm aware of every day. So, I don't know. It's unfortunately too late for this guy, and it's too late for his victims, but it's not too late for other people. And if you feel like you need help, never hesitate to reach out to people around you or to professional organizations. If you're ever having feelings like this, take care of that. Okay, so we're starting off a little dour, but I felt like we had to get that out. Now let's go ahead and get the show going on a better note. So, you know, I've talked a lot about Venus, and I talked about how I would tell people that Venus was, I thought, had a jungle on it, and because that's what I had read in a book, and no one ever corrected me. And I remember mentioning that at one time to my dad, and he never corrected me. He did correct me on the whale thing when I asked him if whales lived to be 500 years old, and he's like, no, where did you read that at? And I was thinking about it today, too. I'm starting to think my parents, as much as they love me, they may have thought I was mentally retarded. And I don't mean that as an insult. Because the reason why I say that is because if your son comes up to you and said, and he's, you know, 13, 14 years old and tells you that there is a jungle on Venus and you don't correct them, the reason why you don't correct them is because you kind of feel bad for them, because that's probably the most, you kind of are like, man, little Jason, hopefully society will take care of you. I remember this the other day when I was probably older than that. I think I might have been 15. I told my mom, I said, I can prove evolution is not real. I have proof that evolution is not real. And my mom's like, okay. And I said, if we evolved randomly from monkeys, why do clothes fit us? My mom didn't respond to that. She didn't tell me. She didn't say, well, we made clothes to fit us. We didn't find clothes in the wilderness. They don't grow on trees. We have bodies and we put clothes on them. That's why clothes. But she didn't say anything of that. She didn't say anything like that at all. And I never really thought, it was a couple days later when I was like, oh, wait a second, we invented clothes. So clothes don't prove that evolution doesn't exist. But I wonder what my mom was thinking when I said that. Was my mom thinking, yep, my husband's right. He might actually be mentally retarded. I remember my husband telling me that Jason thought dinosaurs lived on Venus, and now Jason has just come up to me and told me if evolution was true, why do clothes fit us? Oh, I hope society can take care of young Jason. I understand parents only want the best for their children, but at a certain point, it's like, Jason, that's the most ridiculous thing one human being has ever said to another human being. But no one ever called me out on it, and the end result is I end up having a podcast 30 years later, where I talk about other nonsense stuff. And one of those nonsense things we're going to talk about is one of my favorite subjects, warps of all kinds. I like time warps and dimensional warps and holes to other universes, black holes, white holes. I think white holes are fascinating, actually. But we have a new one. Now, when I said baby time warps in the beginning, I thought, you know what, people are probably going to think I'm talking about a time warp that affects babies, and while that would be awesome, while that would be, actually a womb, I guess, is kind of a baby time warp, because it, like, baby comes out of it, like, it starts off with, like, nothing. Anyways, so, let's get back on topic. So, there is apparently a new time warp, i.e. a baby time warp, near Las Vegas. Now, of course, the first headline of this, I love journalists. My degree's in journalism. I love it. And one of the things I love two things about journalism. One is I love the research. I love reading very well-researched stuff, and we're going to go over that later. But I also love opening lines of articles, which is a lost art, because now with a lot of clickbaity stuff, they just kind of get you there. It's all about the headline, the clickbaity headline. When you see articles that have good opening lines, that's usually a sign of like a quote-unquote classically trained journalist, rather than being like, yep, I watched The Last Jedi for 5 times last week, and I'll tell you. No, you want to give them like a little hook. Here's the hook for this article. I'll put the link in. Okay, so this is about a time warp in Vegas. Apparently what happens in Vegas may not actually stay in Vegas. I like that. A little smarmy, a little factual. So anyways, this paranormal researcher, which seems like an oxymoron sometimes, named Joshua Warren, claims he's the first person to ever discover a time warp, which I will disagree with. I'm sure many people have discovered time warps before. They've just fallen into them. But anyways, he said that he has... So apparently he has this device called a differential time rate meter, also known as a DT meter, which I'm sure he just made up, and it's some sort of like pocket radio. But he was able to record a measurement showing time had been slowing down for 20 microseconds, something that laws of physics prove should not occur. So in this warp area, time is slowed down for 20 microseconds. Now, there's a couple theories. One is that he's making it up. Two, his equipment is faulty. Three, he doesn't know how to work his equipment. Four, the equipment is made up. Or five, there actually is a time warp there. Now, you can obviously you know, pick one, whatever one of those five suits you better. My thing is like, let's say there is a time warp there, and the only thing is it does is it slows down time 20 microseconds, and it can be verifiably tested. I would say something like that. I think something like that probably scientifically could happen. We'll get out of the paranormal thing right now, and like, it's a time warp to dinosaur land. And a scientist goes out, and then they run on this stuff, and they're like, yeah, gravity works different here. Like, not works different, but the time is so based on pull of gravity that you could say, yeah, there's something, there's like a huge iron deposit under here or whatever. So yeah, it slows down 20 microseconds as opposed to anyone else, and everyone packs up all their stuff. So that's always the thing. Like, you can have something that's like a quote-unquote time warp, because technically time is being warped. But that's not what we're talking about. When we talk about time warps, we're talking about you, like cavemen, are crawling out of it and like you're fighting, you know, robots from the future. A time differential of 20 microseconds, leave that to the nerds in the lab. I want a warp that I, like, fall through, and then I'm, like, showing knights of the round table how to make gunpowder, which, technically, I don't know how to make gunpowder either. But the point being is that that's a time warp. A UFO is not a little light in the sky that does zigzags and then disappears. A UFO is an alien dropship. It's like an actual, like, shuttlecraft with engines coming down and aliens disembarking and being, like, we will cure your cancer if you give us people, or that's when people talk about aliens, that's what we mean. You can point up in the sky, like if I go out with you into the woods, which I do not recommend going into the woods with me, but if we go out into the woods and you're like, hey, there's UFOs here, and you point up in the sky and I see little orange and blue lights like doing zigzags and flying around and disappearing, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, like maybe that is UFOs. I don't care. But even if that is UFOs, that's totally lame. That is the lamest UFO. And they're like, no, it's like intelligence from another planet. And if you came all the way from Alpha Centauri and all you can do is fly around in our sky doing zigzags, you're lame. It's totally lame. I want to see like hovercraft coming so close over the forest line, like squirrels are getting blown out of trees and stuff. I want to see like aliens disembarking in battle armor, or you can be the peaceful, stupid nerd aliens too, with your glasses and your lab coats and like wanting to make peace. Fine, whatever. But I would prefer like, you know, the aliens that were wrestling. Not, you know what actually bugs me the most is environmental aliens. I always hear stories about aliens and they'll abduct people and they'll be like, we have abducted you because your planet is environmental danger. Only if you change your ways will you... That's so stupid. I would be so pissed if I got abducted by an alien and they lectured me on environmental concerns. I'd be like, probe me, please. That would be so annoying. Give me the aliens who are like the Spock aliens, the Vulcans, who are like, they want to be peaceful, but maybe they're a little bit badass on the side, but they're like, hey, we want you to join this galactic union, and we're relatively peaceful. I'll take those guys. Or give me the, like, Rock'em Sock'em aliens. If I get abducted by a hippie alien, I'm going to be pissed. Pissed. So, yeah, that's the thing. We talk about aliens, we talk about UFOs, we want aliens. We talk about time warps. Like, show me, like, a portal. Don't show me, like, a gravity sink. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. I think I'm going to do the Civil War one real quick. So, because a lot of people are concerned about it. You even did an episode on it. So, a lot of people are concerned about the second American Civil War, and people, like 31% of Americans think it'll happen in the next 5 years. I'm going to cover this real briefly because it's actually kind of no nonsense. Here's the thing about the next American Civil War. Whoever starts it loses. That's the key. Because we have the government, and you have the people, and the average person in any country, America, Syria, China, wherever, they want to keep their kids healthy, they want to have a job, they want to drive around in their car, they want to enjoy their weekends, they want things to be relatively stable. So whoever pops off first loses. That's just the way it's going to be. You can say the government is more right-leaning, but if a bunch of right-winger militias start blowing stuff up, the government's not going to take that threat and go, ah, you know, it's it's whatever. They will shut that down so quickly, and the people who just want to go about their lives and raise their kids will also be like, shut it down because it's affecting my life. Here's the thing, though. If we have the left wing, it's mostly in the coastal cities and the big cities. And of course, we're pretty evenly mixed when we look at voting patterns. If they pop off, the Civil War lasts a year max, because the government will just choke out the cities and stop their supplies from coming in. If the right wing flips out and it's the middle of a nation, it's going to be a far more long, drawn-out war just because of the landmass, and it's going to be hard. But again, you know, it's not like they're going to have supply line issues and things like that. They have no navy. So it's actually to be fairly well balanced. The first American Civil War, the only American Civil War, was, you know, everyone had coastline and everyone had inland, and they both had supplies and they both had foreign allies and stuff like that. My point is I guess really I'm saying also don't be too concerned about it, because everyone sees themselves as the heroes of this new revolution or this new Civil War, and they always fail. That these people jump up and they're like, we're going to take this great action and we're going to inspire others to take action. So we're going to kill a bunch of cops, or we're going to go, you know, blow open a bunch of abortion clinics, or we're going to do this stuff and it's going to organize people. And they're going to, people just want to live their lives. It takes a lot to push the average person to actually back a civil war. We're not there yet. All of this bleeding on Twitter and all of these talking heads on the news, and all these tweets, and I already said that with Twitter, but you know what I mean? It's echo chamber stuff. People are freaking out. We're not there yet. So don't be too concerned about it. I mean, obviously, you should always be prepared with supplies and things like that in case something goes wrong. And I honestly probably wouldn't want to live in a big city, but I think we'll be fine. So I just want to cover that real quickly. A lot of people are scared about it, and I'm necessarily not. Although, where I'm at would kind of suck, because we'd probably get steamrolled as they're on their way to Portland if they're attacking the cities. But, so, I want to talk about ghosts, and that's one of the topics that I haven't really talked about much. Now, ghosts is kind of an overwhelming topic. There's so many types of ghosts, stuff like that. Now, I have a book. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I've actually bought multiple copies of it. It's a book that I not only got signed by the author, I interviewed him when I was a journalist. I have bought copies for other people. I've given out my copies to people. And this book is called The National Directory of Haunted Places. I'm going to put the link below. It is the best book for ghost aficionados. And what it is nearly every place in the United States with not only a description of the haunting, but address and contact information if you want to visit there. It's amazing. It's this encyclopedia of ghosts, basically. Dennis William Hauck, H-A-U-C-K, great, nice guy, great author. It's a great book. It's a great compendium. We talked a lot about ghosts and the paranormal when I interviewed him, and I'll save that information for later. But anyway, so I've been going through his book, and I found a story I wanted to talk about. And it's in Illinois, and it's Hickory Hill. It's this old house. So Illinois, was not a slave state. And this guy bought this house. I don't remember his name. Let's see if I can see it real quick. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it does. It matters, because I saw it now. John Crenshaw had this house, right? It's Hickory Hill. And it was a three-story house. So the first story was like the den area, like the living room and all this stuff. The second story was where his wife and his kids like slept. And then the third story, he kept slaves. And he kept slaves because he owned like a salt mining operation, because salt was super valuable back then. And he would capture free blacks and sell them into slavery. So, like, black people would just be walking around, because Illinois was not a slave state, and he would capture them and send them south. He would also hire night riders, which, as awesome as a name that is, it actually is not that awesome, because they were, like, people who caught runaway slaves. And that he had night riders working for him. Damn, that name sounds awesome, but Yeah, Knight Riders working for him, and they would kidnap black people and take runaway slaves, and then he would keep them up here, up in his slave house, and then he would ship them back south when he sold them. He bred slaves up there. He's a horrible guy all around. Anyways, so he died eventually, because everybody dies. And then they ended up, you know, other people bought the house, and it was this fame. It became this fame. Oh, and he got discovered for, like, kicking the shit out of somebody, beating up a slave woman. And then they were like, wait a second. Oh, wait, you know what? Okay, so I skipped a couple things. So anyways, he was super successful. He was so rich at one point, he paid like 1/7 of the taxes for the state of Illinois. Like, that's how much money he had. He just had a ton of money. And then one day he got arrested for like beating up Here he goes. He was indicted for kidnapping a free black woman and her children. And again, like, this guy was super wealthy. So imagine if, like, all of a sudden Bill Gates found out was running, like, a Filipino, you know, slavery ring. And so he got indicted for that, but he wasn't put in jail, but he started losing civil court actions, or he started getting a lot of civil court actions against him. More salt deposits were uncovered, so he was losing business. And then finally, a slave went nuts and chopped his leg off. And so after that, he's like, no more slaves. Like, that was his wake-up call. He's like, dude, these guys are nuts. So anyways, he dies eventually. They sell the house to these other people. And the attic is, like, super haunted by all the slaves. The ghost slaves are like, oh. And they're, like, singing songs, singing old slave songs, like hymns and stuff like that. And so what was weird about this was there was also this like amateur exorcist said, I'm going to spend the night in the attic and I will get rid of the ghosts. He ended up running out of the attic halfway through the night and died a couple hours later. So then the legend started that no one can stay in the house until midnight, or stay in the house all night. No one can stay on the third floor all night. So then people just started doing that over and over and over again, trying to do it, and nobody could do it. And then eventually a fire broke out in the house, and the owners were like, okay, no more tricks, no more like people spending the night. And then finally in 1978, a journalist was like, I want to try to spend the night in the mansion. And the homeowners were like, oh, okay. And he did. He stayed the whole night, and he said it was really creepy up there. Like, I heard a bunch of stuff and I couldn't understand it. And he said he recorded some voices, but of course, you know, that was back in the 70s, so, you know, any recording's gone now. So that's the story of the Hill House of, what is it called? Hickory Hill. That's the story of Hickory Hill. And so the house is still standing to this day. Now, what's weird is that it has 24-hour security around it. You can't get in it anymore. No one's using it. They're talking about the state buying it because it is a local piece of history, because it's the only place where slavery was in Illinois. But here's my thing. I got a couple things to say about it. First off, I'm going to link you to this article. When I was talking about investigative journalism, this article is super well researched. I just had a great time reading it. It really goes into the history of Illinois and the history of this Crenshaw guy and everything like that. So it's just a fascinating read. I love well researched stuff. Secondly, I can understand you wanting to have security around your estate because you know it's a old house and stuff like that. But I think the only reason why you would have 24-hour security around a house like that is if it really was haunted. Like, I can understand you having security around a house at night because you're afraid someone's going to break into it. But why would you pay for 24-hour security if the house really wasn't haunted and you didn't want, like, people going up there and just, like, getting beat up by ghosts and then suing you? I don't see any other reason. I mean, I guess if you didn't want people vandalizing your house is a pretty good reason. But you know what I mean? Like, I would be more concerned that people would break in and then you would never find them again. And then, like, the mom sues you and you're like, well, maybe the ghost got him? I don't know. I mean, does that make any sense? I guess that's probably a common question you ask while you're listening to the show, if that makes any sense. But 24-hour surveillance just seems pretty extreme for just a house in the middle of nowhere. Although, I don't know if it's actually in the middle of nowhere. I'm just assuming that. But yeah, I think it probably is haunted. What would suck if you were a ghost is that you were a ghost trapped in a slave house. Like, that's the one thing I don't get about ghosts is, like, why, if you're a ghost, why would you hang out, like, in the most miserable place ever? I would hang out in a movie theater. Like, if I was a ghost and I could float around, because obviously you can't, or you're at least invisible, you could, like, sneak out the door and then just go to a movie theater, or I would probably, hang out. If I was a ghost, actually, I'd go underwater. I'd go, like, walk around the bottom of the ocean and see what's down there. But, you know, I don't buy the whole thing that, oh, no, like, you, that's where a lot of tragedy happens, so that's where your ghost is stuck. Because, you know, spoiler alert, yeah, a lot of tragedies happen everywhere on the planet. Technically, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, shouldn't that be full of ghosts? Shouldn't there be, like, 100,000 ghosts? Like, you're trying to take your, like, do your laundry, and the ghost is like, don't mind me. I've only been here for 50 years. Like, there should be ghosts everywhere in those cities. There should be ghosts everywhere in every city. The reason why they're not is either because ghosts don't exist, or ghosts are all at the bottom of the ocean, or in movie theaters. Okay, so I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We are going to be back tomorrow, as we are wont to do, with another great episode. I think we're going to talk about, there was a particular thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have some good stories for you tomorrow. I like today's stories, though. I got my ghost story in, and we got the baby time warp. The Civil War thing we kind of glossed over, but, you know, again, it's not something I'm too worried about myself. I've been lived through Mayan ending, you know, Mayan calendars, and Nostradamus, the rise of the Antichrist, and Y2K, and the African rainforest being destroyed, and Mad Max in the United States, and nuclear Armageddon during the 80s. I've lived through so many horrible catastrophes that the media told me was going to happen tomorrow, and I'm still here, and you're still here, and everyone can be talking and beating the war drums, but remember, fear sells, and that's really what they're trying to get you to do. I know this show can be a little spooky. It'll be a little spooky. I know you're afraid to go to Vegas now because you might be 20 microseconds behind the rest of the world. But just remember, you know, they're just doing that. In a week, 2 weeks from now, they'll be on to another story. They'll be talking about some other great catastrophe that's about to befall all of us or the world or stuff like that. And just don't let it get you down. Always, you know, always keep your head up. And if you ever do start to get too angry or too depressed, remember, there's always people you can reach out to. So I want to go ahead and end on that note. You can always reach out to me. Email is deadrabbitradio@gmail.com. Website is deadrabbit.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jason O. Carpenter. I'm on there. I don't check Twitter that much, but I definitely check the email every day. And again, I thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We are going to pump out another 85 of these at the least. That's the goal. I don't see any reason why we can't hit that goal. And then we'll go from there. So I am out. Still don't have a slogan, but we'll see you tomorrow.